Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kelton Tech Solutions Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. I would like to thank you all for participating in the company's earnings call for the first quarter of financial year 2027. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature, and such forward-looking statements are subject to risks and uncertainties which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made from the information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place any undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating with us in today's earnings call. We have with us Mr. Niranjan Chintam, Chairman and Whole-Time Director, Mr. Karanjit Singh, Chief Executive Officer, India, and Mr. Srinivas Pothalur, Chief Executive Officer, U.S. I would now like to turn the conference call over to Mr. Niranjan Chintam, sir. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sagar. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are dialing in from. Thank you for joining our Q1 FY27 earnings call. Just want to start off with the financial highlights, and then I'll hand over to Karanjit to talk about operational and customer wins. The financial numbers, we have achieved 316 crores, which is about close to 7% year-on-year growth with an EBITDA of 11.1%, the EBITDA absolute number being 35 crores, and a PAT margin of 7.1%, and the PAT absolute number being 22.3 crores. The EPS for this quarter is 0.42. These are the highlights from a financial point of view. Karanjit to talk about our operational highlights and the customers that we have got this quarter. Karanjit, over to you.
Hello.
Yeah, Karan.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Let me just first go through the client wins during this quarter. We have had some significant wins. I'll just go over one by one. The first one is a Fortune India 500 conglomerate. It's a big conglomerate. We have a strategic engagement with them to basically build a unified enterprise workflow platform. We are leveraging our low-code/no-code platform to basically deliver the solution. This will actually help them modernize their financial and governance processes. Of course, you know, it's highly configurable and of course integrates with multiple systems that they have. Eventually it will lead in to the AI-assisted process automation as well. The second one is a leading UAE enterprise group. Here we are basically designing a cloud-native enterprise operating system that helps unify their business operations, governance, finance, and enterprise workflows. Again, you know, this will have some API-led integration as well as AI-driven operational insights and intelligent automation. Obviously all to support the business decision-making. The third one that I have is a leading energy infrastructure company in the Middle East. We are helping them basically build an enterprise workflow platform that helps them digitize some critical, time-critical operational processes, which kind of also, you know, have some regulatory approvals and all that. This will completely help them do things much faster than the fragmented manual process that they have today. The next one is a leading global industrial services enterprise. They are building a mission-critical field operations platform. In fact, they've recently got funded, a huge round of funding. So we are helping them with the engineering on that platform towards performance optimization, modernization, and user experience improvements. The next one is basically a global leader in pest management services. So here we are building a cloud-native kind of intelligent field service customer engagement kind of a platform for them. And, you know, we will have AI-assisted scheduling, technician route optimization, integrations with their back-end ERP and other middlewares on the GCP cloud platform. So this kind of helps us bring in our expertise in cloud modernization and enterprise integration and intelligent field operations. So these were some highlights of some of the wins we had this quarter. I'll switch to the operational highlights at this point. The first big one is that sometime back we would have spoken about having won a contract to deploy our Optima Digital Oil Fields platform for Oil India. So that project has been successfully completed in less than 6 months. This is done in the northeast in very difficult terrain across 46 sites or plains, as they call them, covering about 80 odd wells. So this is, you know, we have deployed everything from the sensors all the way to the Optima platform. And, you know, this will help them basically enhance their operational visibility and production intelligence. So this really strengthens our leadership in industrial IoT systems, cloud native platforms, and of course, AI-enabled energy solutions. The second one, if some of you kind of track us, you would have heard about our PR on Phoenix.ai. Phoenix.ai is a product or an accelerator that we have launched, which helps modernize enterprise legacy system. At almost, you know, it does it 80% faster at half the cost. So we had won an enterprise modernization project, and we have leveraged, we have built our own framework for doing this. So this really helps to modernize any older monolithic applications to scalable cloud-native microservices-based intelligence. And of course, it uses all the latest technologies that are out there and all the stuff that you hear from OpenAI, from Copilot, from Claude. So this really is about 4 million lines of code, and it is actually a specialized ERP that we are modernizing. Of course, multiple modules covering 4 million lines of code being done to in very aggressive timelines. So what this achieves for even the customer is that you can do it at about maybe one-third or half the cost, and at a much faster timeline, which otherwise manually would really be either not possible or would take, you know, much, much longer time. We also announced the launch of our Strati.ai platform. This is an AI context engine for enterprise intelligence. So this basically helps an enterprise, you know, to get the context and basically transforms their unstructured data into contextual AI, AI-ready intelligence. So the first thing, you know, before you can do any AI, you really need to have your data in order. So Strati.ai is that framework. So it covers a lot of other technical things like metadata enrichment, intelligent data orchestration, generative AI, and of course it has, you know, it can process millions of data assets in various formats. The next one is that we also have acquired the Select Trio partnership with Snowflake. So this is our emphasis on the data side. So we just strengthened our partnership and moved up to the Select Trio partner during this quarter. This will really help us. Basically, it kind of recognizes our continued investment in strengthening this this capability in the Snowflake and the AI-powered data platform, cloud modernization, and enterprise analytics space. And it will help us go to market with the Snowflake much better. The other one is around a leading global agriculture company. We have modernized and AI-enabled their enterprise platform for employees, retailers, channel partners, where we are leveraging intelligent automation and data-driven workflows to support operational efficiency and also personalized stakeholder experiences. Another one is for a leading NBFC. We have modernized their loan origination system and the sales portal to help them address certain other customer segments using their cloud-ready digital lending platform with intelligent workflows. And, you know, kind of it enables them to launch a loan against property kind of a new offering. And the last one here is an award that we received for the work that we have done. So BW Business World People Tech Future Awards 2026, we got the Gold Award for the best HR tech implementation. This was in recognition of the successful delivery of our Government of Karnataka HRNS2 program. It's one of the largest program which covers almost 55 departments, all the departments of the government, the state government, covering almost upwards of 5 lakh employees across all these departments. So this is basically, it highlights our ability to execute large-scale, mission-critical digital transformation projects, which obviously have a lot of complex architecture and integrations to various systems. So that kind of are all the stuff that I wanted to cover on the operational highlights.
Thank you, Karanjit. Sagar, let's get the questions queue started.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. We will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and then one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Again, to register for a question, you may press star and one now. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Sai Jitendra, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Yeah, hi, sir. Good evening. I had a few questions, sir. It's regarding one of the acquisition that we had made, that is Qumori. May I know what's the revenue impact with that acquisition? And the second one is, we had an, in AGM, we had an 50 million FCC proceedings planned, right? But what was the further process you have been taken for getting that proceeds?
Okay. Thank you, Jitendra. So let me answer the Qumori one first. Qumori, this quarter, the acquisition for Qumori was more for capability and not revenue. So we wanted to get into the space of ServiceNow. So when Kelton started on its own in the ServiceNow space, you know, we had some certifications, we had some capability, but when the customers are going and looking about us on ServiceNow portal, they were not seeing much activity, no case studies, nothing. So what we felt was in order to jumpstart our offerings to our customers, our reach to the customers, our marketing capability, we felt the need to go buy a company that gives us the capability. So with the acquisition of Qumori, now we have the certifications that are required, the case studies that you know they have now become Kelton's case studies. So with that, right, we can go market ourselves to the customer saying that, hey, we have this many certified people, and we have so many case studies that we have done successfully. Now the customers are having confidence with us. People are having confidence with us, and we are getting client wins because of that. Okay, just to ask a question on the revenue for Kumari, the last this quarter's revenue or the last quarter's revenue was about 4 crores. It's not much. That's the reason why I said we acquired that company more for capability and not for revenue. Now, answering your question of the FCCB round, yes, we did the first round. The second round is delayed because of the global headwinds that we are facing. You understand all the global headwinds that are going on, and also today, IT industry is not, or IT companies are not seeing a good limelight. So we're just waiting and watching. It is going to happen. It's just a matter of time. But you know, it got delayed because of the whole global headwinds and anything else. Thank you, Jitendra. Sagar, next question.
Sure. Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Krishnans, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Good evening.
Could you please throw some light on the account receivable balances? As you know, it has been increasing year after year, and it is quite unusual for an IT company to, as I, in my limited knowledge, the account receivables don't pile up in the IT space.
So I'll just give you a perspective there, Krishnan. Just to give you a perspective, we have many large customers, right? I don't want to name names. These are Fortune 100 companies in the U.S., where our clock begins after 90 days. That means after we raise an invoice, we collect after 90 days. We have like that in the Fortune 100. We are a small company. We are not like the large companies that have the muscle power to negotiate. For us, it's like, you know, take it or leave it. Okay, that has been the case traditionally, and it has been there. So to answer your question on the receivables, on the absolute numbers and the percentage-wise, we are almost the same. We have not grown. But in the absolute numbers, because our revenue is growing, right, the numbers are also increasing because of that. So if you look at our DSO days, we are at 100-plus days is where we are. In addition to that, we also have, you know, customers in India, that is the government customers, the LICs of the world, the HRMS of the world, where the lead cycle of getting invoices cleared is long. So those are the reasons why our receivables are high. So that has been the case traditionally, and it's continuing on. And that's not a reflection of our inability. It's just that, you know, we don't have the muscle power to negotiate better.
Contextually asking, the account receivables are being getting converted. They're not being provisioned, but it's taking a long time.
That is correct. We don't have, if you can see, right, we have not written off too much. We written off probably, you know, a few crores, but we're talking about handful of crores over a period of, you know, 1 year or so. But beyond that, we have not. So these are, you know, uncollectibles, you know, sometimes disputes we write off. I don't have the exact number of 2026, but I'll get the number and answer while we're going on what we wrote off last year. Okay, just to give you an idea of how low the number is.
Sure, thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
Yes, before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Your next question comes from the line of G. Vishwanarayana, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you?
Fine, sir.
Yeah, how can I help? What can I answer for you?
Sir, what is the next two quarters, what your guidance you are giving, sir?
So at this point, right, you know what's going on in the headwinds,
yes,
that
sir,
we are facing.
Yes, sir,
right?
Yes.
Just unfortunately, right, you know, we thought that, you know, the war is going to end, and it has restarted. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, lot of customers for us, we have what we call delayed starts. So people are signing on contracts and are delaying the start because the companies itself are worried about their cash flow. This is what we're talking about in US. We also have certain companies where we get to a state of, you know, negotiations done, the contract needs to be executed, they're pushing it. okay, we'll do it next month kind of stuff, because they're worried against cash flow of their own company. So I don't want to give a guidance, because at this point, right, whatever guidance I might give may not be, may have an impact on what is happening with the global environment that we are facing at this point. So we will be doing, if you look at from a total year point of view, right, we will be, you know, at par or better than what we did last year from the growth perspective.
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Harsh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Harsh.
Hi, sir. Hi.
Yeah, what can I answer? Go ahead,
please. My question is regarding the revenue growth has been relatively moderate over the quarter. So what gives you confidence in alternating growth during financial year 2027?
Okay. So it's twofold, like I was talking to Vishnath, right? We have pipeline is there. It's just a matter of getting them executed and started, right? Where I said the delayed start that were happening. So there is demand out there. It's just people are not, people, I mean, customers are not, you know, getting us to let us start or not signing on the contract so that we can start. So that's one thing that, you know, is good news for us. Second thing is AI-led, right? Lot of AI-led inquiries are coming in. You know, yes, some of them are smaller. AI-related projects, you know, pure AI-related projects are small, but whatever we're doing from a transformation perspective, there is a component of AI in every project that we're doing now. Unlike before, now every project has some AI twist to it. They are demanding certain things that we have to do in the AI. So that gives me confidence that, you know, once all the chaos that is happening around the world settles down a bit, we would be in a much better shape. We would be doing, that's the reason why I confidently said to Vishnath that we would like meet and or beat what we did last year. So that is my answer to this. Okay. Next question, please.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Shruti with Softdale. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, good
Shruti.
Evening, sir.
Good evening. Good evening, Shruti.
Yeah,
go
yeah.
Ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to understand that currently many IT companies have announced AI platforms. What differentiates the Skelton's AI strategy and how will it generate sustainable revenues?
Okay. Yeah, I think Kanjit has talked about a little bit about that Phoenix.ai and Struct.ai. We also have our own internal Kai platform. Kai platform, what it does is, you know, it improves the efficiencies of delivery. Examples, you know, we have seen 30%, you know, efficiencies coming in certain areas, not all of them, but, you know, certain examples are like, you know, testing related ones, you know, the business development side, also the BA side of it, analysis side of it, all of that is getting 30% of the efficiencies we're getting using our platform, internal platform. Now coming to the external customers, right? We see that the Phoenix.ai of the world, even the Kai of the world, as well as the Struct AI, you know, we will see more and more wins. Karanjit explained one customer where it's a 4 million lines of code. We have now launched a campaign that would help acquire more customers that, you know, would potentially need the similar kind of services, because there are many companies out there that they have legacy code and they have legacy platforms that they're shying away from doing it for two reasons. One is the cost factor. The second is they're worried what happens to their operations, right? We have successfully deployed our Phoenix.ai, and like Karanjit said, right, it's going to be a 50% savings on what some of the customers or our competitors are charging. So that will give us, you know, more revenue from that side. Thank you, Shruti. Next question, please.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Shubham, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes.
Good evening, Shubham.
Hi, Bill. Good evening.
Yeah. Okay.
Audible?
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is in, like, continuous to the question that has already been asked, and you have answered with respect to the guidance. So if you cannot provide the guidance with respect to the next 1 year, can you throw some guidance for the next 2 to 3 years or for longer run?
See, this, the reason why we're shying from that is, like I said, we will meet and or beat what we achieved last year, what we did up to the, I'm talking financial year 26, right? What is going to be the next 2 years projections, you know, at this point, right? Nobody can give that guidance at this point because of the changes that are happening around the world. I'm not talking about, you know, just, you know, geopolitically. I'm talking about even the AI impact that is out there. At this point, right, if somebody gives you a guidance saying that, you know, 3 years, this is the number, you know, that's going to be tough ask at this point. People are, all the big companies are also giving 1 year guidances. That's why I said, you know, I will meet and or beat what I did achieve the revenue growth that we achieved last year.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one. Participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question. Our next question comes from the line of Neha, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi there.
Good evening, everyone. This is Neha, an individual investor.
Please go ahead.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on the strategic joint venture with Action Energy. This appears to be an important step in strengthening Kelton's presence in the GCC region. And in this regard, my question is, beyond the immediate revenue opportunity, and how does this JV fit into Kelton's long-term strategy and regarding this differentiated IP-led businesses, and where do you see this partnership and its contribution to Kelton over the next 3 to 5 years range?
Thank you, Neha. I guess there was a press release that we gave, on the JV side of it. The CEO of Action Energy has already stated that our target is to achieve 5% of a billion market, right? That is out there in this space, especially that, you know, transformation of the oil field and the digital oil field platform. So that is the number that is what we believe we can achieve in the next 3 years. Now, to answer your question on the strategic reason why we did it with Action Energy and why GCC, we have been tactical when it comes to entering the GCC market specifically, right? We have more on the UAE side than really anything else. So what we did is, Karanjit also mentioned a few customer wins that we have achieved. There are few long-term customers that we had, but from a strategy point of view, that GCC market is unknown to us. So we felt that a partnership with a company like Action Energy, who has the local knowledge, the local relationships, local delivery capabilities, would help grow that market. So beyond the digital oil field that 5% we talk of $1 billion we talked about, we are also working with Action Energy in providing transformation solutions and the AI-led transformation solutions to other companies there, and not just targeting only the oil field side of it. So we believe that, right, the next 3 years is going to be important for us in exploiting this and penetrating the GCC, now beyond UAE that we currently have. And with Action Energy, the Kuwait is where we are starting the journey, and later on we'll expand to other GCC countries. So from a long-term perspective, we see a lot of prospects in the GCC space, and the answer to your question is, immediately we see that the 5% of the $1 billion is what we see, but beyond that, there's a big scope. At this point, I don't have a pipeline built, so once the pipeline is built, I would be able to answer the question better. Thank you, Neha. Next question, please.
Thank you. Your next question comes from the line of Krishnansh, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, Krishnansh.
Hi, sir. Krishna Ansh again. As you have previously mentioned, the uncertainty with regards to the guidance and the future performance, can we current revenue?
Yes, sorry to interrupt. Krishna, sir, we had lost your audio in between. May I request you to repeat your question once again? Sir, we are not able to hear you.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Hi, sir. As you previously mentioned, the uncertainty with regards to the guidance and revenue performance, the future performance, can we expect a volatility in revenue as well, or we would be maintaining the current levels of revenue, that is about 300-350 crores of revenue a quarter?
See, we have a pipeline of close to nine months, right? Order book of 9 months. So order book of 9 months. So there is a predictable revenue for the next 9 months. It is the growth that the expectation that people are talking about is where am I able to give the guidance. Okay, would it be like 10%, 15%, 20%? Those are the guidance that I cannot give at this point, other than to tell you that, yes, we will meet and beat what we grew last year, similar percentage-wise we would grow, for sure, given the pipeline that we're seeing and the backlog that we have. Hope I answered your question there, Krishna.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and then one to ask a question.
Let's give it a couple of minutes. If you don't have any more, Sagar, let's wrap it up.
We have a question from the line of Abhishek, an individual investor. Right. Please go ahead.
Hi, Abhishek.
Hi, sir. Good evening.
Yeah.
Sir, my question
Yes, you are. Please go ahead.
Sir, my question is that what are the new innovation in pipeline for the next 3 to 5 year revenue targets of the company?
See, AI is going to be now embedded into pretty much anything and everything that, you know, that we're seeing out there. So AI-led growth is going to be there. So one of the things that we are good at this point, right, is taking AI to the core. Now, most of the companies that we are seeing are just slapping on AI as an add-on. For us, AI is not that. We take it to the core. Okay, that is one. We're also looking at enterprise modernization that is happening. Earlier, it used to be digital transformation of the enterprises. What we are seeing now is beyond that. Right now, we're saying AI-led modernization is happening. We also see a lot of partnership-led growth, which is why we invested heavily into ServiceNow, Microsoft, Snowflakes. We are seeing that growth that is going to be there. So those are the ones, right? And existing customers, we're reaching out, the previous customers that we have serviced, we're reaching out with new capabilities that we have done, new solution offerings that we have, the product offerings, the platform offerings that we have that we did not have. That is going to yield a lot. At the same time, right, AI is changing how we do business, and it's like every quarter, right, there is a change. So we have to transform ourselves and be current. So those are the challenges that are there, but also that gives an opportunity when you have those kinds of challenges. And we have always been ahead of the curve, and, you know, we have what we call the tip of the spear kind of a strategy, where we are the cutting edge kind of solution offerings. So we believe that, you know, we are in a very good place when it comes to the next wave of whatever be the disruptions that are coming in, or the technical capabilities and or technical challenges that are coming out there. So we would be ahead of that, and we believe that we will be succeeding much more given the posture that we have, given the capability that we have. So I'm going to stop there.
Okay, thank you, sir, for the answer.
Thank you, Abhishek.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference call over to Mr. Niranjan Chintan, sir, for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining our earnings call. Looking forward to talking to you. If your travels take you to Hyderabad and/or Gurgaon, please do look us up. Please reach out to the investor email address, and we'll be happy to sit down, talk to you, give more information, show and tell our solutions that we're building to our customers. So looking forward to talking to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. On behalf of Kelton Tech Solutions Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.